Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 8, June the 25th, 2009. A number of years ago, country music songwriter Loretta Lynn wrote a song called Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die. Back when I was a boy, I remember an old evangelist coming through and describing the time when someone was preaching and ask everybody in the church who wanted to go to heaven to stand up. Everybody stood up but one boy. And the evangelist said, the evangelist he was describing, said he looked down at the boy and said, son, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, of course I want to go to heaven. I just didn't want to go tonight in case you're getting up a load. We like to hold on to this world. We like to hold on to the things of this world. What we need to do is get our faith and trust in God and the fact that God controls history. Our destiny is already laid out before Him. And start thinking and preparing ourselves for what lies ahead. God has given us the mind, the noose, the left bank of the soul. He's given us thinking skills. Ephesians 3:16. The New King James Version says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Each of us have a frame of reference in which we have comprehension. We have a memory center in which we can store memory. When we learn God's divine problem-solving devices and start using them in our daily life and truly living by faith in the Word of God and the promises of God, we begin to get spiritual momentum. Spiritual momentum allows us to use to make decisions. As you study and learn the Word of God, Bible doctrine, you store the Word of God in your vocabulary, which is a storage facility, and in categorical storage where you learn to tie doctrines together, to think not only in words, but think in learning promises, categories, and principles, preceptible line is called. Into the conscience, we have the ability for creativity. And when you have doctrinal wisdom in the soul, you can have spiritual awareness of what is going on around you. The comprehension is the capacity of the human mind to function under spiritual IQ by the perception, the cognizance, and the metabolization of Bible doctrine in the stream of consciousness of your soul. You may not have thought about it that way, but that's exactly what it is. You say, what is spiritual IQ? Spiritual IQ equals your spiritual skills to live the Christian way of life. Your spiritual skills begin with the filling of the Spirit. You have been given, you and I, into our human body and soul, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then we're filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. The filling of the Spirit plus thinking skills, which is human IQ, equals spiritual IQ. It takes the filling of the Spirit plus the thinking skills of human IQ to equal spiritual IQ. Human IQ consists of, as we point out to you, comprehension, memory, momentum. Spiritual momentum can be brought into as you deal with the problem-solving devices of life. Decision-making, which requires you to use vocabulary storage, having understood the words and learned what they mean, and categorical storage, where you've turned Bible doctrine into a system where you can clearly understand it and use it. Memory is the mental capacity to retain, metabolize Bible doctrine in the stream of conscience and recall it during the circumstances of life. Problem-solving for momentum is the using of the divine problem-solving devices that the Father has on what we call the flot line, the forward line of troops of the soul. Moving up to the forward line of troops, the Word of God. And what this means is you use God's divine problem-solving devices in instant reaction force to prevent the outside pressures of temporal life from becoming the inside pressures of stress in the soul. Use doctrine to prevent stress in the soul. This allows you to become involved in decision-making, the power and the ability to understand the issues of temporal and spiritual life, to classify solutions and course of action, and to make decisions to do the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. We're told to do the will of God. Creativity is the application of divine viewpoint from independent thinking and accurate originality of thought related to spiritual values. You have to use originality of thought. You have to take the Word of God that you have learned, Bible doctrine that you have resident in your soul, and learn how to use it to adjust your thinking to deal with the stress and pressures of life. This is the creativity of the soul in which you learn to think. Doctrine. Creativity is the application of divine viewpoint from independent thinking and accurate originality of thought related to spiritual values. And this brings you into spiritual awareness. This is the use of wisdom. Extensive knowledge of Bible doctrine, the wisdom compartment of the stream of conscience, and the interpretive ability to accurately apply it to every circumstance of temporal and spiritual life. You have to realize that there are things out there that you need to do. You confess your sin. This is your first power option, is confess your sin. Metabolization of Bible doctrine follows it. You confess your sin, you're filled with the Spirit, you study with the Word of God, you understand the Word of God, and you begin to relate to it. Your spiritual IQ then equals spiritual relates to spiritual skills. The filling of the Holy Spirit plus the use of the thinking skills. And remember the thinking skills, comprehension, comprehension, the frame of reference, memory in the memory center, problem solving for momentum, decision making using categories of Bible doctrines and the categorical storage of the soul and vocabulary that you understand, the words that become doctrine, the reality in your soul. From the conscious you develop the creativity, and from wisdom you develop the awareness. All right, the filling of the Spirit plus thinking skills equals spiritual IQ plus the study, understanding, belief, and categorization of Bible doctrine allows you to metabolize doctrine into the soul, the Word of God. The filling of the Holy Spirit plus the thinking skills equals spiritual IQ plus metabolized Bible doctrine. That's doctrine you've already learned. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee becomes divine problem-solving advice. You learn how to use God's system to deal with our problems. The filling of the Holy Spirit plus thinking skills equals spiritual IQ allow us to move into and operate in accordance with the Father's protocol plan of the ages. The prophecies of God is the Father's protocol plan of the ages, and that includes dying. Before we begin, let's pause now for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Today we want you to be thinking about how to adjust doctrine to live or to die, whatever they may be. Lynn and I have faced the reality twice in the last 9 years that the Lord could take her home and her battles with cancer and other health problems very seriously. That doesn't include rushing her to the hospital a little over a year ago. For heart problems, when we discovered we thought she was having heart attacks, instead we discovered that she has this irregular heartbeat. All right, before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer, then give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit, have objectivity, teaching the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish what you designed it for, and we ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. When I was a boy growing up, one of the old songs we always sung was Robert Lowry, pastor teacher Robert Lowry, "Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with his crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God." Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. This, of course, is based upon the fact that there's a river that flows forth. The throne described in Revelation chapter 21. Yes, we will gather at the beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. In the fourth verse, soon we'll reach that shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. There's a day we're all going to be assembled in heaven with Jesus Christ. We'll meet in the clouds. We won't meet at the river. We'll meet in the clouds. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with a trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the air, evermore to be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There is comfort in believing in the rapture of the church. Today, the rapture of the church is unpopular. I just received another book that someone sent me. They wanted me to read, in which the man who wrote it starts off by saying that the problem is that we've lost sight of the kingdom. Everybody wants to talk about the earthly kingdom. Everybody's concerned about what's going on down here. Living our lives one day at a time to the glory of God, and yet preparing as if we're going to be around for a while. Hard thing to do. We've watched America change so much. We've watched people lose their retirement funds in the last couple of years as investments have crashed. We've watched the greed of men, the violation of every rule that God set down in biblical economics as the effective way for prosperity to a nation. We've watched the concepts of national sovereignty disappear. The cry of internationalism. We've seen the zeitgeist, the spirit of philosophy of the age driving forward toward the coming of the Antichrist and the false prophet, which will follow the rapture of the church. But we do not know if we could die today and the rapture comes tomorrow. We do not know how much time we have. God has allotted our time to us. But we have to learn how to use our spiritual IQ and our thinking skills to deal with the issue. When you are filled with the Spirit and you utilize comprehension in your spiritual IQ, you study for the study of Bible doctrine. We call this perceiving Bible doctrine. When with the filling of the Spirit, you reach into the memory center in your spiritual IQ plus the metabolized Bible doctrine, the doctrines you've categorically studied, learned, and understood and believed in your soul. You go into operation recalling Bible doctrine. We sometimes call that reverse concentration. You concentrate on doctrine you previously learned. When you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, plus the understanding of the divine problem-solving devices, you have spiritual momentum. Spiritual IQ, plus metabolized Bible doctrine, allows you to function in your priesthood as a priest before God. You can faith rest your problems in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes into decision making, the filling of the Holy Spirit plus decision making equals spiritual IQ plus metabolized doctrine equals volition. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. Will I use the Word of God to deal with this problem? Will I serve God in this problem as a priest of God? Or will I fail? Will I function as a soldier in the Royal Army of God, or will I fail? The filling of the Spirit plus creativity equals spiritual IQ plus metabolized Bible doctrine equals the recovering of truth. Recovering of truth. Taking truth and fitting it into every area of your life. Creativity, we point out, is the application of divine viewpoint from independent thinking and accurate originality of thought related to spiritual values. You begin to choose what God wants you to do, and you recover truth so that you are not led along by political correctness. You are not led along by what's going on around you and what other people think. Trusting in man, your trust is not in man. Your trust is not in government. Your trust is in God. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Filling of the Spirit plus the awareness in the soul equaling spiritual IQ plus the metabolized Bible doctrine you've learned equals the desire to learn additional doctrine, study the Word of God more. You don't believe that you've arrived and there's nothing left to deal with. All right, I want you to relate to this as we deal with the doctrine of the benefits of physical death to the believer. God has designed certain benefits for you and me. We have to learn what is going on. We have to trust God. Point one. Every believer must learn to live with honor. Every believer must learn to live with honor. Because why, you say? Because dying is a promotion into the eternal state. Every believer must learn to live with honor, because dying is a promotion into the eternal state. And we should die with honor. We need to learn to die with honor. We need to look seriously at the reality of what death is all about, that death is a promotion into the presence of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Point two, the believer in death gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ personally and all his glory. Acts 7:54-60. When they heard these sayings, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, this is Stephen, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." That's God the Father. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not thy sin their charge." And he went and said this, he fell asleep. Death is a transfer to our permanent change of duty station. We need to develop mobility and momentum in our soul daily through the study, living, and application of Bible doctrine, so that when we reach the eternal state, the time comes for us to transfer into the eternal state, that we understand it greatly. The prothesis, some pronounce the prothesis of God. In the Greek, is God's eternal roadmap. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 3:10-11. Ephesians 3:10-11. The intent now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Father has eternal purpose. The Father's eternal roundup. There's a road map for it. There's a way to study and learn what the Father has, the trail map of where to go. Nothing is an accident. God is in control of history, and God has laid down a plan for the ages, and that plan is going to be fulfilled in its entirety. God has not made any mistakes in life. Romans 11:36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Amen. All of creation fits into the Father's eternal plan of the ages. Believers need to start looking back and seeing what the Father has. That plan includes, for most of us, physical death. 1 Corinthians 29:11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in the heaven. And in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." God is in control of history. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." All things were created for the pleasure of God. Why can't we understand this? Why can't we relate to the fact that God is in absolute control of history and that he has a plan, and this plan will also include death, and therefore death is a benefit to the believer. Death becomes a benefit to the believer. We get carried away with the problem of this life without looking at the grand prothesis of God, his eternal roadmap that he's laid down, the Father has given to us to study and to follow. Isaiah 46 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else." Verse 9, "I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my will." My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my will. Psalm 33:11. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." All right. The prophecies of the Father during the Eternal Life Conference, which was held in the dispensation of the Triune Godhead, also called Alpha, pre-creation eternity. God the Father defined his eternal purpose for all of creation history, including Adamic human history, and established a roadmap by which he would accomplish this plan. God has given us a roadmap. It's found in Romans 8:28b. I'm sorry, I couldn't stop the machine in time. Had some crazy weather sometimes in the 40s at night and then up in the 70s during the day and all this. Romans 8:28b. "Who are called according to his purpose." This is the purpose, the prothesis of God. The eternal roadmap I want you to consider here this morning is relationship to death, and death is a promotion simple. All right, point one of this then is subpoints underneath the benefits of living and dying of physical death to the believer, the benefits of physical death to the believer, the promotion of it is. We gave you the first point, every believer must learn to live with honor, because dying is a promotion into the eternal state. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We gave you the point two, the believer at death gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ personally in all his glory. Acts 7:54-60, where we saw Stephen at his stoning and death, looks up and the heavens opened up and God gave him a vision of what we can look forward to in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in all of his glorified resurrection body, standing in honor at the right hand of the Father. All right, this brought us to the subsidiary doctrine for a moment. The prothesis, prothesis, of God the Father, the eternal purpose of the Father, which I call God's eternal trail map. God's eternal trail map, or road map, if you prefer it. The first point was, God has an eternal road map, Ephesians 3:10-11, which we read to you. And we'll read you again to make sure you fully understand it. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. That's the mystical body of Christ, you and I as believers, the manifold wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God the Father according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Father set down a purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has given us an eternal road map, or trail map, eternal. Set down the eternal purpose of God, the prothesis. During the dispensation of the triune Godhead, also known as the dispensation of Alpha, pre-creation eternity, at the Eternal Life Conference, God the Father defined his eternal purpose for all of creation history. He established the trail map by which it would be accomplished his plan. And everything is centered in this purpose, Romans 8:28b. To them that are called according to his purpose. Secondly, God the Father established a trust account containing specific, unique, individual blessings available to each believer in eternity to be redeemed from the escrow as we develop capacity for spiritual life blessings through the consistent study, understanding, believing, evaluating, so it becomes metabolized Bible doctrine, resident in the soul. Revelation 2:7. He doesn't hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Special blessings that God has set aside. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3 says, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, which fadeth not away. Now, as we understand this destiny, you've got to understand something. First of all, there's a personal manifest destiny. So let's back up a moment. I jumped ahead to show you something, and God has a plan. The plan is it has an eternal purpose. Now let's back up to see something of it. Point 3. The Father has assigned to each believer a specific, unique, individual, temporal, and eternal life destiny based on his foreknowledge of our daily volitional decisions to operate inside his divine power system, living the Christian life while alive in the material or temporal world. Ephesians 1:11. In whom we have inheritance. My apology, the had a malfunction with equipment a few minutes ago, and the counter is off, and I didn't realize how far we had gone. So it goes beyond sometimes what our other tape can cover, all right? Let's review what I've given you for just a minute to make sure we get all of this on the tape. We're looking at a subcategory of doctrine called the prothesis of God the Father. Prothesis or prothesis, if you prefer the English pronunciation of it, prothesis. I'm not going to argue the Greek. I've had it argued both ways by men far smarter than me. All right, God has established an eternal trail map of his plan for the ages as it relates individually to you and I. We saw Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. Point out to you that the prothesis in the Greek, prothesis, during the Eternal Life Conference, back in the dispensation of Triune Godhead, also known as dispensation of Alpha, pre-creation eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit held what has become known as the Eternal Life Conference. It was here that the Father made his covenant of glorification with the Son, of which all of the covenants come out of. Covenant was the contract, the commitment of the Father. The Father defined at that point his eternal purpose for all of creation history, including Adamic human history, and established the roadmap by which this would all be accomplished, his plan. The roadmap is centered in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not centered in you and in me. It's centered in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 28b. Who are the called according to his purpose, the Father's purpose. All right, I jumped ahead to point out to you that there are unique eternal benefits laid out for us that the Father has established. Second point, God the Father established a trust account containing specific, unique, individual blessings available to each believer in eternity. To be redeemed from escrow as we develop capacity for spiritual life blessings, the consistent study, understanding, believing, evaluating, and categorizing Bible doctrine to make it metabolized doctrine of the soul. We gave you Revelation 2, 7. With 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Now I'm going to back up, having jumped ahead to the eternal benefits, because we go backwards to the first stage of it, which I give you under point 3 here. God the Father assigned each believer a specific, unique, individual, temporal, and eternal life destiny, based on the Father's, and my tongue got twisted here and I've left out a phrase, based on the Father's decretive will, his desire, but including from his foreknowledge all of the daily volitional decisions that you and I will make to operate inside his divine power system during our life in the material world, temporal time. The Father looked at all of human history in his foreknowledge. He looked at you and I individually. You say, I don't believe this. I don't believe that we were a part of his eternal plan by name that way. I've been taught that no. We come into it and we make our decisions whether we fit into it or whatever we do. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, and the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah or Yahweh, if you prefer that translation, came unto me saying, before I, that's Jehovah, representing God the Father there, formed thee in the belly. In other words, in your mother's womb. I knew you. I knew you before you were formed, before your mother and father had sexual intercourse. And I allowed her to get pregnant. And then I shaped you according to Psalm in the womb. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. God knew Jeremiah from eternity past. He knew us all from eternity past. But he had to shape our volitional decisions to operate in his power system or operate in carnality as believers into his decision-making process through foreknowledge. The reason he did it was so that our failures would in no way encumber his plan. If you and I fail to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, they do not go to hell because we fail. God will, if they can be saved, the Father will have someone else there to share the gospel with them. He will raise up someone else to cover our failures. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowledge. But he did take into consideration our volitional decisions and things that we were making, but yet he had a manifest destiny for us, a spiritual life destiny, which we may or may not fully come into. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Point four. God the Father established a plan of time and eternity. From his own desire and free will, but which integrated the volitional decisions of all believers and unbelievers in human history to achieve his perfect eternal purpose. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Along with Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. God has a perfect, eternal plan of the ages. So the roadmap of God begins with you and life, begins in eternity past with the Father laying down this plan, God's eternal trail map. Secondly, it jumps ahead to you and I personally, our personal manifest destiny. Thirdly, it moves to the fulfilling of God's perfect plan. Fourthly, we now come back to in point five. Again, we repeat the unique eternal benefits. We have to put them in there. The Father established a trust account containing specific, unique, individual blessings available to each believer in eternity, to be redeemed from escrow as we develop capacity for spiritual life blessings through the consistent metabolization of Bible doctrine, Revelation 2, 7, with 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. So I introduced you to them as, secondly, it's just to show you the Father's plan jumps forward and covers everything. But then I had to go back and give you your personal manifest destiny, the opportunities we have to fulfill the Father's perfect plan, and the unique eternal benefits that lie ahead for us. Next point, the Father predestinated us to adoption. The Father predestinated each person to spiritual adoption. Each believer, to spiritual adoption as an adult son through his position in Christ, giving him equal privileges with his son, Ephesians 1:4. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Ephesians 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You and I were adopted. First 4 says, according as he has, every translation usually says chosen, it should be elected us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We were elected to blessing. We're elected to blessing. We're predestinated to adoption. This brings us to the escrow blessings the Father has established. God the Father established a trust account containing specific, unique, individual blessings available to every believer in time to be redeemed from escrow as we develop capacity for temporal life blessings through consistent metabolization of Bible doctrine. The Father has established a trust account for us, Ephesians 3, chapter, verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, that's our prayers, our think, that's our daydreams and night dreams, according to the power that worketh in us. The Father has set aside great blessings for us for time as well as for eternity. But we have to redeem them one day at a time, and we have to redeem them to the filling of the Spirit, applying the Word of God to our life, which we call Bible doctrine. Having learned not just the words that's in the Bible, but having turned them into doctrinal thinking in our soul that we can relate to divine viewpoint with the Lord through Christ to the Father. We have all of these wonderful blessings that he has set up for us, the unique individual blessings. Now these may not all be material things. They may not be the cars, the boats, the houses, the condos, all the things that you think of. Many believers live and die in poverty. Hebrews chapter 11 shows that those who suffer, often who suffer great things and know little of the material wealth of this world, have such a spiritual life that the world is not worthy of them. Not all of them, but a number of them are, as described in Hebrews chapter 11 there. The world was not worthy of knowing these people. We always want what we want, not necessarily what God wants. This brings us to the glorification of Christ. God the Father predestined each person who is a believer in Jesus Christ to glorify Christ in time and eternity. And we glorify him by exploiting Christ's victory over Satan in the angelic conflict. This means we have to use our volition to make decisions through the filling of the Spirit to think and apply doctrine. Ephesians 3:21a. Unto him be glory by the church in Christ Jesus. We are to glorify him. This brings us to the position. Okay, this goes along with Romans 8:29. I'm sorry, because we glorify him by being conformed to the likeness of him, Christ's Son. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Father desires to conform us to the image of his Son. When we live our life conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we glorify the Father in our life or in our death. To live with honor and die with honor is to glorify Christ. This gives us eternal security. God the Father guarantees the position, blessings, and destiny of each believer in time and eternity through his own sovereignty and immutability. Jude 24:25. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And this brings us to an eternal destiny. All right, so look this over and see what you've got here. You've got the prothesis of God, God's eternal roadmap, Ephesians 3:10-11. Set up in the dispensation of the triune Godhead, eternity past. First of all, God has given you and I a personal manifest destiny. Second, he gives us the opportunity to fulfill the Father's perfect plan in time. Thirdly, we have unique eternal benefits set aside. Fourthly, we are elected to blessing and predestinated to adoption. as adult sons. Fifthly, we have escrow blessings. Sixth, we have the opportunity to glorify Christ in time and have impact in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Seven, we are eternally secure in Christ. And eight, which is your point nine, since I gave you the eight eternal blessings twice, every believer has an eternal destiny with God. God the Father predestined each believer who was in his foreknowledge. God the Father predestined each believer who in his foreknowledge he recognized would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But his eternal decree of will, he guaranteed, would be saved to an eternal residence in his presence in heaven. Ephesians 3:21b. You had to believe in Christ to be saved. That's one side of the coin. Verse 21a says, unto him be glory by the church and to Christ Jesus throughout all ages. The second part says, world without end, from the ages of the age, eternal ages to come. God's will be fulfilled. Christ will be glorified. You and I have the benefit of being a part of this. The sovereignty of God meets the free will of man. What's the purpose of the Father at this time? Acts 15:14 says, Simeon hath declared our God at the first that visits the Gentiles to take out a people for his name. The Father's taking out a people for his name. In Acts 13, Paul summed it all up in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, what did they hear? What did the Gentiles hear? Verse 46. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles for it. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation in the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, that they could be saved and how to be saved, in other words, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained, tasso, T-A-S-S-O, to eternal life, believed. All right? First of all, we're ordained to eternal life, but secondly, we have to make a volitional decision individually in time to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But to do this, the Father has to draw us, the Son has to call us, the Spirit has to woo us with his convicting ministry for what he is doing. But our eternal destiny with Christ, this brings us back to our major point then on the doctrine of the benefits of physical death that we began with. One, every believer must learn to live with honor and die with honor, because dying is a permanent promotion into the eternal state. We get a permanent change of duty station. We gave you 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Secondly, the believer at death gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ personally in all his glory. And we gave you Acts 7:54-60, when Stephen saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Thirdly, every believer enters the paradise of the third heaven as a permanent change of duty station the moment that we die. All right, Luke 16:28-22a shows us the original paradise that was in the earth, where every believer went until Christ emptied it out. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, which is also called paradise, but there are two sections of the old paradise. One section was for all of the believers who belonged to the dispensation of the Hebrews. The family of the Hebrews, all those people that were saved from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob down, the circumcision of Abraham, that became a part of the Hebrew economy. Now, everybody that became a part of the Gentile economy, all those saved from Adam to the circumcision of Abraham, and those that were saved afterwards as Gentiles and were not brought into the economy of the Hebrews, remained as Gentiles, having not been circumcised and gone through the things that brought them into that, remain a part of the household of the royal family, royal race household of the, not family, but race, the royal race, the household of the Gentiles. Every dispensation has its own unique house with its own destiny within the plan of God. We are not Israel in the New Testament, and Israel is not the church in the Old Testament. All right, next we go to 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. All right, so now we know that the paradise is in the third heaven. Then we go to, when did it go to get there? Ephesians 4, 8 to 10. Ephesians 4. 8 to 10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended in the same also hath ascended up above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. Christ emptied out the paradise of the earth and carried it to the third heaven at his glorious ascension. Scripture tells us that no man had seen has ascended into heaven, but the Son of Man descended down before that. Now they're in the third heaven. For the Lord Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the Father and greets the believers. That's Acts 7, 54 to 60, which we've already read to you. 5, the believer is free from standing under the judgment of God. Hebrews 9, 27, 28. This is the point when a man wants to die, and after death the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Point 6, the believer at physical death is thus beyond the believer at death has thus passed beyond the realm of eternal condemnation. Romans 8, 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Point 7. The believer at death will have shed his last tears, for God shall wipe them away. Revelation 21:4a, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now there's a principle. Every believer will appear before the Lord Jesus Christ to receive his spiritual evaluation. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Principle. The exception to the rule of tears shed is that there will be tears shed at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Father will then wipe them away. This is what Revelation 21 is all about. The judgment seat of Christ, tears will be shed, and the Father will then wipe them away. We will shed tears because we will see all the lost opportunities that we have. 8, the believer's physical death will pass forever beyond the power of all forms of death, Revelation 21:4b, and there shall be no more death. We suffer physical death once, we'll never suffer physical death again. It's appointed to the man once to die. There were a few unique exceptions where God resuscitated people and they went back in the grave when they died. Secondly, we will never suffer temporal death. We will never be go into carnality again. We'll be filled with the Spirit forever. We will serve God forever. 1:9, the believer at death will never sorrow or cry again, Revelation 21:4c, neither sorrow nor crying. 1:10, the believer at death will never know the meaning of physical pain again, Revelation 21:4d, neither shall there be any pain. 1:11, the believer will never again be concerned with the details and circumstances of temporal life and human history, thus being free from the pressures of people, places, and things, Revelation 21:4e. For the former things have passed away. Point 12. The believer at death begins an eternal life in an immediate presence of God on a personal basis. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. 1:13, the believer at death enters faultlessly into the presence of the glory of God and possesses eternal joy. Jude 24. Now him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. 1:14, the believer at death enters into the eternal state of perfect righteousness and will be eternally sanctified and set apart unto God. Revelation 22:11b, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. 1:15, the believer at physical death enters into an inheritance that is indescribably perfect, eternal, and reserved for them in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The down payment of the inheritance was the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit and his becoming our eternal pledge of future rewards. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye have trusted that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is himself the seal, and the symbolism of Scripture, a seal signifies one, a finished transaction. You can look up for yourselves. We're out of time just about. Jeremiah 32:9-10, John 17:4-19:30. Secondly, ownership, Jeremiah 32:11-12, 2 Timothy 2:19, and security, Esther 8:8, Daniel 6:17, Ephesians 4:30. Point 16, the believer at physical death goes to a temporary home in God's house, but he has prepared for the individual believer a future permanent house in New Jerusalem. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We first go to the paradise of heaven while we wait the resurrection. We will enter and live eternally in the New Jerusalem as described in Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 and 2, and I saw the new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. 1:17, the believer at physical death is met by the resurrection glorified Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to meet us at the moment of death. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you will be also. That's the rapture when he comes for us. He stands up for us, as we saw in Acts. He will come again for us at the rapture, and that was when he will give us a resurrection body. 1:18, the moment of physical death, the believer enters into the perpetual state of eternal life, 1 John 5, 11 to 13. We'll pick up our next class, review some of these points, and go on from there. The verse said, if it runs out for the prayer, this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. John 10:28, and I give you unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise, your word will not return void. We'll accomplish all you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.